Let's get to some NHL hockey talk. Our NHL insider, Elliot Friedman. Elliot, I was saying to people, if you can't grow a weird mustache during a pandemic, you're just never going to do it in your life. Like, this is your chance to go crazy and fulfill your wildest dreams, right?
No question about it. Who's going to stop you?
Well, maybe your wife, but not mine. So, yeah. How are you? The floor is yours.
She already hates me. Like, it's not like it's a big deal. Like, what's going to get worse, really?
Who's going to make out like bandits at the end of this? Is it divorce lawyers or haircutters? I don't know where the queue starts.
The guys that own the tech companies. You seen those numbers in the States? Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. The tech company's huge.
When do you sell that Zoom stock? That's the question.
Andre Iguodala, he was on it at the beginning.
Are you serious?
Zoom. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
He did an interview. They asked him about it. He says, my only regret is that I didn't buy more.
Holy. Crazy. Boom's not here. We'll allow you the floor. It's all yours.
Wait a sec. Like, where is he?
Well,
been a while since a long weekend, right? I mean, he wasn't here last Friday. We had Monday off, so he deserved the break, really.
It's been a while.
Like, what goes on at this station? Like, seriously, like it's craziness there.
You got to get out here. It's
like
a great
Lord
gig.
Of the Flies.
We were talking to Brunt 20 minutes ago. He has appeared on the station just one day fewer this week than Boomer. It's not bad, right? Guests.
Well, I can understand like needing a vacation because we haven't had a vacation, sort of working vacation the last 2 months. Oh my God.
It's fine though. We're hopefully going to see the sun again here. This has been Vancouver winter for like 3 days. It's just rain. This is very foreign to us Calgarians, but it's going to break in time for the weekend. That's the good news here.
We're finally getting good weather too. Nice.
Good. Yeah. And it sounds like we might have major news here as what? As soon as tonight, as players are now, I guess, voting or deciding on the tabled playoff format or at least some aspects of it. Give us the latest.
Well, it depends on who you talk to. You know, there are some people who believe like the players have begrudgingly given their approval to it, but there still needs to be some tweaking done. There's others who believe that it's not official yet in terms of the approval, but it's going to get there. I just think that it's trending in a positive direction in terms of having it. But I don't think it was an easy process. I think there are a number of players who feel that, you know, this is not ideal. But I think it sounds like they've kind of just decided that this is the best of a bad situation.
What would characterize as the greatest? What would be characterized as the greatest concerns or set of concerns for the players? Is it all health and safety, or do they really care about the format of how a tournament would go?
Well, I think health and safety is definitely number one. But when you're talking about this particular situation, I just don't think they like the 24, and I don't think they feel that. I don't think they feel that the regular season this year is being properly rewarded. You know, like if you just do the math, you know, what was Montreal's percentage of making the playoffs? Basically zero.
Mm-hmm.
What was Chicago's? Basically three. And now they've got a 3 out of 5 chance to make the top 16. And if you take a look at a lot of teams who had very high percentages of making the top 16, teams like Carolina, teams like Pittsburgh, teams like Toronto, teams like Edmonton, I don't think they're overly thrilled about it. And I think the other thing is that they're wondering about how this top four seeding is going to be done. You know, Boston was 8 points clear of, you know, the Eastern Conference. If they lose 3 games in a row, could they not get knocked out of that spot? So I think that's what the concern is. We'll see where it ends up. Again, I think it's going to happen. However, you know, I things can happen without people being thrilled about it.
Is there a world where we do play? And as you say, maybe there's some players that are not unhappy about it. We've seen in Major League Baseball, I'm not sure if you caught it yesterday, but some reporting that in the States that Mike Trout might not play because he's got a pregnant wife and doesn't want to have that. issue, and he's fine with his team playing and him not being a part of it. Is there a world where you see a 24 team playoff return and there's some players missing because they don't want to be there, or is it got to be an all in type of thing?
I think there will be players missing. I don't know if it's going to be because they don't want to be there. There are some players whose wives are due. If Mike Trout doesn't play because he wants to see his first child born, I mean, who's going to have a problem with that? Not anybody with a brain. So I don't really have an issue with that. I think also there's going to be players with health conditions or underlying conditions, and they're going to want to maybe not play. I know they're in the process of figuring that all out. But yes, I would expect that there will be players who may not play for either health or maternal reasons.
Now, I know that there's been a lot of talk about the draft. There was a proposal for an early June draft. I know that we were talking about that. And, you know, once you get outside top five, the likelihood of those players, even in the first round, to play or have an immediate impact in those teams, it's hard. It's not like an NFL draft. It's weird in that sense because a lot of these prospects are unknowns to the average fan. But I see in your 31 thoughts, your thought number four with agent Jeff Jackson, pretty interesting idea that he had.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I had some really funny reactions to this week's blog. Will, I had one guy who texted me last night, and he's like, 7 picks in a draft, that's the dumbest idea ever. And I had someone else say, first round pick, if you flip first round picks, if you lose in the play-in, that's the dumbest idea ever. So I got to tell you, I had some people responding last night saying they liked the idea. And Will, I had some other people saying, like, do you just write these things to fill 31? And I was kind of laughing.
And I'm sure it was very, very clean language too, I'm sure.
No, but that's the best part about it, right? Like, that's the thing you like the most is like, Elliot, like, seriously, like, what's wrong with you? The one thing I do wonder here is, you know, what are you going to do for those 7 teams that aren't going to play for 9 months? So, you know, that's one of the things I was wondering about. Like, could you imagine if you guys knew the Flames weren't going to play for 9 months?
That's hard. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm wondering, do you do something for them to create some interest in your market? Like, at the very least, you know, whoever wins the lottery is going to sell tickets. I don't know. Someone said to me, you know, hey, we're talking about this like the 24 teams playoff is going to happen. What if it doesn't happen? And I really think that that's one of the reasons that it may not occur, but I just like the fact it was a different idea.
How come the, bigger picture here, how come the June draft kind of fell apart, Elliot? Do we know?
I think it was a little bit of what we just talked about, Will, that, once the people realized there were 24 teams in the playoffs, they felt it just wasn't right and wasn't fair to do it that way. I just think that teams felt like, you know, are you in the lottery? Are you out of the lottery if you're in the play-in? Steve Yzerman was upset about it, and then Detroit got gifted one of the top two picks, and I know teams were upset about that. There were some teams that got hammered by the lottery in years past that just said, wait a second, like, they shouldn't get any better than we did. And, you know, then there's also the question about, you know, if you're Boston, you get upset in the first round, you could move up a whole bunch of picks. And I just think people felt it was too unfair based on what could happen. And it doesn't happen often, but it looks like Bettman's back down on this one.
Continuing on things that in the past have not been an issue, but this year they are a bit of an issue just because of timing. Usually you see those, college free agents sign at the end of March and then early April, and even KHL guys come over and play in the playoffs. You look at Radulov a number of years back with Nashville, Chris Kreider, obviously, too, with the Rangers. It happens so frequently. I know that your thought number 17, you read the piece from Michael Russo, The Athletic, as did I. Minnesota Wild fans have been craving for Kaprizov to come over. What's the status there, and how come there's been a bit of a holdup with certain KHL free agents?
Well, the one thing that Michael really wrote there that I did not know was that the league was really annoyed at the way some of these contracts were being worded. For example, there's a kid who played at Arizona State, Paschuk, and he signed with San Jose. And, you know, normally he'd be able to burn a year. Like, San Jose would have played him in a meaningless game, and he would have burned a year. So they announced that he's agreed to terms, but they didn't officially sign the contract. Because what their hope was, if San Jose came back and played, he'd burn the year on his contract. Well, the NHL got mad at that. They told people not to sign anybody for this year. And there were a couple of situations where it happened, right? I think Montreal signed a goalie from Russia, similar wording. And the Romanov thing with their defenseman might be the same too. I can't remember. But whatever the case, the league got mad at it. And you're right. Normally guys like Chris Kreider, Kale McCarr, you can, as long as you're on the reserve list, which means you've been drafted by the team or the team owns your rights, you can sign after the deadline and play. Well, the issue here is that Kaprizov from Minnesota, and the other one is the goalie from the Islanders, Ilya Sorokin. What they're sitting here saying is, if I can't play this year, then I might not be able to play until December or January. And that's not a good thing for these guys. So what they're, instead of signing, they're saying, you know, what are my other options? I don't want to be not playing for almost a year. So I think they're kind of waiting to see, is there any chance we're going to be able to play these guys? If not, is there anywhere we can have them sign next year where maybe they have an out clause for the NHL? And it's dicey, especially in the KHL. It's dicey. It's not an enviable situation for those. Like, I feel bad for those guys because it's not their fault. And it's not an easy spot. And I don't think it's a case of those guys don't want to come. I think Kaprizov and Sorokin are coming, but they're kind of in a tough spot about when and where they can sign. So I don't know how this is going to sort itself out, but the one thing that, you know, Michael had there that I did not have any idea about was that the NHL was really mad about it. I didn't realize how upset the league was.
The eye-popping thing for me in your blog this week was the thought about, okay, you look at next season, it's going to be a while before we have a vaccine and before things are really back to somewhat normal to what we had known in the past. And if the NHL wants to get some sort of bodies in the building outside of their players and team personnel, you know, if you still have 6 feet of separation, there's the math, 2,000 to 2,500 fans a game, maybe 4,000 if you have families of four. And then the next thought you had about the lineup outside the building and then getting everybody out of the building. It just some of those details when you think about what might have to go into getting fans back into the building, it's kind of crazy to think about, isn't it?
Yeah, it's mind-numbing. It really is. And you know, that's, I think, the thing that people tell me, like, it just in all doing all the work on the playoff format in the last couple of days, the one thing a couple of guys told me was, never mind the playoff format. You don't understand the details of what we're going to have to go through to play. And, you know, if you've been following baseball at all, you know, the other day, baseball sent the Players Association their 67-page document on the protocols. And yesterday, the players kind of, you know, sent it back with some amendments. But, you know, some of the things like getting changed at your hotel or, you know, not showering at the ballpark. Like, I don't know how many of these are going to end up happening and how many aren't. But it's really incredible when you think of, you know, all the little things that we're going to have to decide upon. Like, also in the blog last night, Will, Statleads is doing research into, you know, how transmissible is the virus from people skating on the ice.
Right.
And, you know, they're doing that with doctors who are trained in this kind of thing. Like, It's really unbelievable when you think about how much this has disrupted our lives, and not only in the big, most obvious ways, but in the little ways. It's funny, I got a text last night after the article appeared from someone who is an executive on a team, and he said, one of your facts was incorrect. And I said, okay, which one? He goes, it's not 1 mile for every 900 people. I go, oh no. I was like, oh, what did I do here? He goes, it's 1 mile for every 880 people. And then he started laughing. And I was like, you know, it just shows you like how precise people are trying to figure this out.
And then, you know, curious reaction you said from your blog was interesting this week. What were some of the texts you got from a December to July schedule moving forward?
Well, one of the things that's kind of happened here, Will, is that one of the schedules that was thrown around, and the source of it, I'm still not 100% sure who created it. But one of the schedules that was thrown around, one of the timelines that was thrown around early, talked about next season starting in December, January, before it was officially confirmed that we will start next year in December, January. And it had a note like at the end that the league wants to make this permanent. Now, it wasn't clear as if they wanted to make it permanent every year, December, January start, or if they wanted to make this the permanent schedule for returning to play at this time. And there's never been a straight answer. But anyway, there have been some people. One of them is Jim Leitz, who's the current president of the Dallas Stars. And another is Jim Rutherford, who you know, who've said for years that the NHL should play December to July. And the reason is the same reason the NBA is considering it. Like, it looks like the NBA is going to start next year on Christmas Day, because that's a big day for them. One of the reasons the NBA is considering it is to get away from football. And there are a number of teams in the NHL that have said for years that the popularity of football in their markets really hurts them. So I wonder if this is going to end up being a trial run. And why wouldn't it be? I mean, you're gonna take the pulse of your fan base, the ticket holders, the TV viewers, to say, okay, how do we feel about this? Will we make better revenues if we play like this? Now, in the past, there hasn't been enough support for that, but now we're actually going to do it. So let's see.
He is Elliot Friedman of Hockey Night in Canada and Sportsnet, our guest every Friday on Boomer in the Morning. Ryan?
Elliot, I'm fascinated. There's so many loose ends with the Vancouver Canucks. We had their number one netminder, who's a free agent, coming rounding into playing again after a significant injury. Michael Ferland was thought to be done for the year. That might not be the case. Their first rounder is lottery protected, but we don't know how many teams will be in a lottery. And their head scout and the team apparently aren't going to remain together if things continue to track the way they've been going. And his contract theoretically would be up at the end of June. I mean, is there a team with as many things hanging in the balance as the Canucks right now?
No, it's true. There's a lot of interesting things going on. But, you know, I just think that, Ryan, once we get back to play and once life gets back to as normal as it can, I think some of these things are going to sort themselves out. You know, Markstrom, I mean, the one thing we don't know yet is what the cap is going to be for next year. You know, we think it's going to be 81.5. We think it's going to be flat, but we don't know that for sure. And that's going to affect the market. And, you know, how many people that are around all this, like the rest of us who play in the NHL, are going to take stock of their lives, have had time to think about, you know, what things are like right now and how that affects maybe their futures. Maybe Jacob Markstrom and someone else are going to feel differently now than they felt before about, okay, what are my goals? What's important to me? Like the one thing I think in Vancouver that is interesting is that, you know, they're talking about extending contracts for everybody. The players' contracts, which end June 30th, are going to be extended through how long they play. I believe that's going to happen for coaches and executives too, or at least they're talking about that right now. But, You know, one of the things that's kind of been left open-ended is, what if a team wants to get rid of somebody, or what if that individual doesn't want to work for the team anymore? And I think they're trying to figure that out. I will tell you, I've had one coach who has been mildly annoyed that he hasn't been extended, who has kind of wondered about, and it's kind of known in the industry that he may not go back. So
Jeff Ward. No, I'm just kidding.
It's not Jeff Ward. Okay, I'll tell you that. You know, so I think all of that has got to be kind of figured out. But I really do believe, Ryan, that one of the things that happens now is that we have too much time to think. And once the world kind of gradually returns, I think some of these things will sort themselves out.
Fair enough. One final follow-up to the earlier thought of a schedule that stretches into June or July on a regular basis. What are the concerns around ice quality? And then I guess another step further, is there any concern at all if there's no fans in the building about ice quality because of how much more you can control that environment, say, for this summer's playoffs?
I think that this is something that they've been... I mean, the one thing that makes it a little bit easier is that, I mean, you know what building you have to deal with, right? Now, I think if they go to anywhere they go here, the temperatures are going to be warm. At least they can focus all their concerns on maybe two issues. I think there is worry about it, particularly if you're playing three games a day somewhere, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even in ideal conditions, it's tough to keep your ice good in those situations. So, yes, I do think that's been one of the factors, is what buildings are kind of modern enough that you think you're going to have the least amount of problems.
Have you booked your lifestyle vacation this summer in Edmonton yet?
No, I have not. I'll tell you this. They're doing a hell of a job for themselves. I know in Calgary you don't like to hear praise of them, but I'm not convinced. Like, I'm beginning to wonder, and this is just me. I was thinking about this last night. Does it really matter if it's West and East, or do you just take the two best cities?
Just take the two best, in my opinion.
I agree.
It's a TV game
take
now,
your
right?
Two best cities, where you're safe, where they give you the best environment, and go from there.
Yeah. Like, hey,
if
you
it's
don't
Vegas and Edmonton, for argument's sake.
Sure.
Is that a problem?
No. And you don't have fans, so you're not really worried about start times. I mean, maybe you are, and obviously you wouldn't have all the games on TV at the same time, but I don't think
Why can't you have all games on TV at the same time?
I guess you could. That happens in the opening round anyways, right? So
absolutely. And people now, they're multiple screen watchers.
This is
a
true.
A game on your TV, a game on your phone,
even split
a game
screen
on your
yourself
iPad.
Too.
Yeah, I mean, like, just make sure you watch the panel.
There you go. But intermission.
Easy fast forward the panel. No, I'm just kidding.
Enjoy the weekend. Thank you. And we will chat next week.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.